Is the Democratic narrative surrounding January 6th crumbling?
A narrative, in order to succeed, has got to have a limited amount of facts. And when facts start coming out one after the other, facts that are indisputable, that you can see with your own eyes, that contradict the narrative begins to become shaky.
And we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying.
I'm Jeffrey K. Lyons, and it's Monday, March the 11th, 2024, and this is Narrative Wars. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into the narratives that animate Joe Biden. We look at two speeches which Biden gave, and they carry strikingly similar themes and attacks on millions of Americans. First, there was the September 1st, 2022, Red Dictator Threat to Democracy speech. It was delivered in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And second, we look at the recent State of the Union address, and that was delivered to Congress last week on March the 7th, 2024. All of this and much more in today's episode of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars, with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are so thankful for all of the support that we've received from you, our listeners. In the last few months, Narrative Wars has been regularly subjected to shadow banning, which has affected our reach. In response, we will continue to expose the woke narratives that continue to be pumped out by the Mockingbird media. And we'll also be announcing very soon the addition of more content on more platforms, making it easier for you, our listeners, to access Narrative Wars content in the future. Well, we're going to move straight to our first piece. And as an introduction, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to take a dive into the narrative which drives the current puppet president, Joe Biden. We're going to start with the speech that he made at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And in this segment, we'll listen to portions of that speech, and then we're going to listen to the State of the Union after that. We're going to see some striking similar themes in both of those speeches. So we're going to roll the clock back now to September 1st, 2022, in a speech I called the Red Dictator Speech, also known as the Not Normal Speech or the Threat to Democracy Speech. Let's take a listen to that. It's cut number one.
Tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us if only we choose it. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Now, that speech, again, was delivered September 1st, 2022, in the historic park, which is in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. So he chooses that location in order to make himself feel more magnanimous, more important than he is. And he tries to tie himself to these historic events that took place when the Constitution was written, when the Declaration of Independence were written from that place. And he says, this is his thesis statement. He says, tonight I come to this place close to Independence Hall call this hallowed ground in America, in other words, where it all began, to speak as plainly as I can. And then he says Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. He doubles and triples down on that statement. He says MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. And then he says for a third time, MAGA Republicans are destroying American democracy. Well, that's interesting because America is not even a democracy. Let's take a look right here. I just happen to have my handy copy of the Constitution of the United States here. And Article 4, Section number 4 says, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government." Well, don't panic. They're not talking about a political party. They're talking about a constitutional republic. And that's what we are. And this is the foundation of what America is. We are not a democracy where we're ruled by the majority. Some of our founding fathers referred to that as basically mob rule. That's not how it works in the United States. As a constitutional republic, the majority don't rule in America. And that's why the little guy can take a large corporation to court and win. It happens every year at the Supreme Court of the United States of America. So check that out. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. So let's take a listen now to some cuts from the State of the Union speech that happened in March the 7th, 2024. And you're going to see some remarkably similar statements being made, tying back to the Red Dictator speech. Of course, you remember that on that date, back in September 1st, 2022, Biden looked rather foreboding. The constitutional hall or the facade of the bricks behind him was lit up rather dimly with red light, kind of reminiscent of Mao loving red and also other Marxists such as Stalin and Lenin. So kind of interesting there, a tip of the hat to the Bolsheviks and the Chaicoms. Now, this is the very beginning of the speech we're going to hear in this next cut. And Biden uses some of the same platform justification. He compares himself to FDR. He says that important things have been said in this room where FDR stood way back during World War II, and it was a time of great peril. Well, the Democrats love to sort of pivot into this sense that we're in great peril, so you have to listen to me. I'm your leader, and we have to do certain things. Let's listen to this cut, and we'll continue to point out some of these similarities between the State of the Union speech and the Red Dictator speech back in September 1st, 2022. Let's listen to this. This is cut number 2A.
Tonight, I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack both at home and overseas.
So there's his thesis statement in the State of the Union speech. Not since the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under attack, both at home and overseas. And we're going to see how he isolates once again the MAGA Republicans as being the cause of freedom and democracy being under attack at home. And then he also makes this point, or tries to make the point, that we're in a very urgent place, that this is reminiscent to also what President Lincoln was going through during the time of the Civil War. Well, this is another bold-faced lie. This is absolute sophistry, and it is bloviating. Look, more Americans died in the Civil War than in any other American conflict. If you add up all of the personnel that died in all of the other American conflicts after the Civil War, or even before, it's going to add up to about the same amount as the Civil War, or a little less. So, this is absolutely a lie. We're not in the midst of a civil war where there are dead bodies all across America. Thank God that is not happening. So this is an absolute lie. And remember, the thesis statement in the Red Dictator speech was Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent extremism. So he keeps repeating these terms, MAGA Republicans and extremism, and we're going to see that repeated. But let's take a listen now to cut 2B, and he pivots now, but this is the very first point he makes coming right after his thesis that we're in this time of peril, and he goes right into fund a war. Let's listen to cut number 2B.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not. Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that it needs to defend itself. That is all. That is all Ukraine is asking. They're not asking for American soldiers. In fact, there are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine, and I'm determined to keep it that way. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked.
Now, if you're someone who studied the Vietnam War, you'd be very aware of what Biden just did, the rhetorical construct that he just put forth. This was referred to as the domino theory. Well, if South Vietnam falls, then many nations all around South Vietnam will fall. Well, we as Americans just have to get involved because this is an absolute necessity. This has to do with national security. And of course, that was a terrible decision going into Vietnam. We all know that. And there are very many movies that you can watch regarding the Vietnam War. Absolute disgrace for America pulling out. Very similar to what just recently happened in Afghanistan. And some might make a case that the billions of dollars of arms that were left perfectly functional in Afghanistan was even worse disgrace. And the final point here is that Biden doubles down. He says, send me a bipartisan national security bill. If the United States walks away, it will put Ukraine at risk. The free world will be at risk. That is the domino theory, which got us into so much trouble in Vietnam. And they're hoping that most Americans are ignorant of history. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening to this show, you are not ignorant of history because we're talking about a fallacy here. The domino theory didn't work. It was a complete failure in Vietnam. It was also a complete failure in Afghanistan, and it will be a complete failure in Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, if you found value in this program, please share it with one or two like-minded friends. We rely on listeners like you to keep this program in production. And you can also join us on social media on both Getter and True Social by searching at Jeffrey K. Lyons, and that's Lyons with a Y. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing your thoughts. Your thoughts are important to us. Coming up next, we are going to listen to another portion of the State of the Union speech where Biden doubles down on the insurrection narrative. So before we take a listen to this cut having to do with the January 6th narrative, remember at the very beginning of Biden's speech, he says, "What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack, both at home and overseas." So the very first point that Biden made after that statement, after his thesis statement, was that we need to go to war in the Ukraine. And he put forth the domino theory. Now he's pivoting to democracy being under attack at home, and he's pushing this January 6th narrative, and they've pushed it ever since 2021, and they're going to continue to push this narrative. This is the same point that Biden made again back in the September 2022 speech. Is that any surprise? And that's why we play that cut and made you aware of it, the Red Dictator speech, where Biden said that the United States is under attack by what? Extreme MAGA Republicans. He's going to do it again now, 2 years later in the State of the Union speech. So let's listen to this. This is cut number 2C.
History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. Yeah. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War.
So, Biden says that America stood strong, democracy prevailed after January the 6th, 2021. And we read that the United States is not a democracy. I read it right out of the Constitution. Again, it's in Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state this union is a Republican form of government. So we are a constitutional republic. So he's lying. We're not a democracy, but they love to do this over and over. They double down on these lies in order to confuse the voting public. He also states, as I've done ever since being elected to this office, I ask all of you without regard to party to join together, defend democracy. A lie. He should say, defend our constitutional republic. Remember your oath for office to defend all threats, foreign and domestic. And then big claps. Look, Biden doesn't even protect the southern border. That's the truth threat. Real people, about 10 million, maybe 12, maybe more. They're invading thousands and thousands of people. And many of these countries are emptying out their jails and sending the occupants of those jails to the United States of America. We're literally being invaded, and Biden and his cabinet are not protecting the United States. Section 4 of Article 4 goes on to say, and shall protect each of them, meaning each of the United States, each of the states in the Union, against invasion. Wow, right there. That is the job of the federal government, to protect us against invasion. And we are being invaded at our southern border. And this is the top issue in the United States right now. And it is the reason why I believe Biden is going to lose, because he has neglected his constitutional obligations to protect the states. And he is allowing this invasion to take place. Biden is a disgrace to the office. I believe he's a communist. And I believe that he is doing this absolutely on purpose in order to overthrow the government. I cannot prove that because I cannot read his mind. But I can prove that millions and millions are coming across the border through the southern border, where it touches Mexico. That is easily proven. And just as Dinesh D'Souza outlined in the beginning of the program, that quote that you heard, once the facts become so evident to the public, the narrative collapses. So this idea that MAGA Republicans are the greatest threat to the United States of America, that is an absolute lie. The greatest threat to the United States of America right now is that millions and millions of illegals are pouring across our borders. We're putting them up into hotels, we're giving them cash cards, and it's going to bankrupt the United States of America if we don't do something, and do something very quickly. All right, for our final portion of this Biden wreck of a State of the Union speech. And I need to point out, really what it is it's a State of the Election speech. This is nothing more than Biden stumping in order to bolster his election. And we know that people just aren't going to listen to him. I mean, Trump has tens of thousands of people attending his rallies, and Biden can barely get 200 people in a room to attend one of his rallies. So this is why the Democrats all got the same memo, you know, cheer and make a lot of noise and wave your hands and act like he's some sort of emperor returning from a conquering campaign somewhere and coming in. And this is just all show. It's all for the cameras. It's all about optics, folks, because Biden rallies are real snoozers. So a couple questions here before we listen to this last cut. And this last cut, Biden doubles down on Roe v. Wade, and he actually attacks the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The Supreme Court, the Article 3 portion of the United States government, which is the judiciary. And here's a question that I want you to kind of keep in mind as we listen to this cut. Why are Democrats so insistent upon pushing the abortion agenda? So let's take a listen to this cut, and we're going to swing back to that question, and we're going to discuss a bit more. All right, this is cut number 2D.
There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that. Clearly, those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot, we won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024.
So the arrogance of this president is so over the top. He invites the Supreme Court, the Article 3 section of our government, the Supreme Court in the United States representing the judiciary. All of the judiciary is Article 3. And he invites them in, and then he insults them by saying that the ruling against Roe v. Wade, which basically tossed it out, was wrong. And he basically threatens the court. He threatens the justices. And I love it because when you take a look at the camera, just poker face, you cannot tell. There's no emotion from any of the justices, liberal, conservative, whatever you want to call them, the same poker face. Actually, I would suggest that Speaker Johnson review that tape and learn how to do the poker face also, because he was just shaking his head and grimacing too often during the speech. But that was his first State of the Union. But moving on. So remember, we posed this question, why are Democrats so insistent upon pushing the abortion agenda? And I would suggest it's because they think abortion is a winning campaign talking point. And secondly, that there are big Democrat donors that continue to support and push this narrative. Look, here's the reality. I looked up a Pew Research study. I'll put the links in the show notes for you to check out. But abortions have decreased steadily in America since the early 1990s. Remember, Roe v. Wade was passed in 74, but since the early 1990s, abortions have decreased. Abortions have dropped significantly each year by hundreds of thousands at that time from the 1990s to now. According to the CDC, there were about 615,000 abortions in 2020, and that was down from a high of 1.6 million in 1990. Well, that's a decrease of almost 1 million abortions each year. If you look at the video of the people outside of the Supreme Court of the United States on the day that it was announced that Roe v. Wade was overturned, that was a few years ago already, the people who supported this action were mainly young women. So here's the stark reality. The abortion issue is not popular among young women. Young women know the truth. A pregnancy is a baby. Everything changed when the sonogram was invented and pregnant women were able to both see the baby in the womb and they were allowed to hear the heartbeat. In fact, there's studies on this. It's 80, 90% of women choose to keep the baby and not go forward with an abortion once they see the baby and hear the heartbeat. Well, after watching and listening to Joe Biden deliver the March 7th State of the Union speech, a number of things have become very clear. First, Joe Biden will be the Democrat nominee for President of the United States come November of this year. Biden will be on the ballot. Forget the talk about him bowing out. He's not going to do it. He wants to have an 8-year legacy in the White House, and he wants to continue with the invasion at the southern border. He wants to transform America into a nation that none of us can recognize or have ever lived in or our parents have ever lived in. This is what socialists and communists do, and this is the reality of the Democrat Party, which has been taken over by the left-wing socialists. So that's the first point. Biden will be the Democrat nominee for President of the United States. And secondly, we know Donald Trump will also be on the November ballot for President of the United States. Nikki Haley has bowed out of the contest. Romney McDaniel has quit as head of the RNC, and Trump now owns the Republican Party. And he regularly holds rallies that fill stadiums with tens of thousands in attendance. This is in sharp contrast to Joe Biden, who can barely fill a room with a few hundred in attendance. Third, what is the significance of this recent State of the Union speech? Well, there was a fabricated, over-the-top enthusiasm coming from the Democrat side of the aisle. Clearly the talking point, as we mentioned earlier, went out to the Democrats. They all towed the line, they clapped and made a lot of noise for the cameras, and millions of Americans then watched Joe Biden's hateful campaign speech. They all towed the line. They all clapped like seals and made a lot of noise for the cameras and the millions of Americans that were watching the State of the Union hateful speech, the speech which attacked millions of Americans that were just exercising their right to go to the ballot box. So the Democrats were showing enthusiasm because there's no enthusiasm at a typical Joe Biden campaign stump speech. But this was a different Biden. He was pumped up with something. I don't know, 10 cups of coffee? I don't know. But his machine gun angry tone in which he delivered his speech didn't seem to be the cadence of a normal human being that was not under the influence of some sort of chemical substance. Seemed rather odd, didn't it? Also, did you notice the rather sickening amount of adulations and selfie photo opportunities that occurred both as he walked in and out of the House chamber podium? You'd think he was some kind of rock star. Is this America's version of a Roman emperor returning to Rome after a successful military campaign? It certainly seems that that's the image they wanted to portray. And finally, there was the plagiarism from the Martin Luther King speech, the famous I Have a Dream speech, which concluded the State of the Union speech. And if you remember, Dr. King used the phrase, I have a dream. It was given at the crescendo of his speech. And in a familiar fashion, Joe Biden also chose a phrase and he repeated it multiple times. Here's what he said at the conclusion of his speech. He said, I see a future to defend democracy. I see a future where the middle class has a fair shot. I see a future where we have a planet, blah, blah, blah. I see a future. I see. He said it like five or six times. So let's take a look at these. I see a future to defend democracy. We're not a democracy. We already covered that. We're a constitutional republic. So that's lie number one. I see a future where the middle class has a fair shot and the wealthy have to pay their fair share. The Democrats say this over and over. It's their standard talking point. Fair shot. Wealthy have to pay their fair share in taxes. Folks, this is classic Marxism. And this is why I say Biden and his Democrat supporters that are in the Democrat caucus and in the DNC, they're Marxists. This is classic class warfare. I see a future where we save the planet from climate crisis and protect our family from gun violence. Well, he kind of puts two talking points together there. There's green Marxist tyranny. And if you don't believe it and you just keep going along with this agenda, you'll be eating bugs and you'll be eating fake meat. Don't believe me? Very easy to look up. This is what they're pushing. They want to get rid of farmers and they want to be producing bugs in factories, feeding the public that, and also growing fake meat because, well, there's too many flatulence coming from cows and that's not good for the environment. They also want to eliminate the Second Amendment. So he kind of lumped those two talking points together when he said, I see a future where we save the planet from climate crisis and protect our family from gun violence. Then he says, I see a future to restore and protect our freedoms and not take them away. Well, translation, we hate the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to restore Roe v. Wade and we hate life in general. In fact, we don't even want to talk about babies. No, that's just reproductive rights. We're not even going to talk about fetuses or babies in the womb. And then he finally says, I see a future for all Americans, and I'll be a president for all Americans. What does this mean? Well, he's really only wants to be a president for all of the Americans that believe in DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. That's what he's really talking about. And if you reject that dogma, if you reject that ideology, there's something wrong with you. You're MAGA. You're an extremist. You can't participate in the public square. You can't run for office. You can't vote. You need to be isolated. And finally, at the end of this nonsensical rant, which Joe Biden gave, the Democrats burst into a hysterical chant of four more years. Again, there was a talking point that went out. Remember, everybody, at the end of Joe Biden's speech, stand up and chant like a very large group of SEALs, clapping your hands and saying, four more years, as loud as you can, because this is our last shot. Nobody shows up at Joe Biden rallies, so you got to show the enthusiasm here. Clearly, this was a campaign speech. It was a speech aimed at marginalizing Trump voters and marginalizing anyone who would dare question Joe Biden's narrative, Joe Biden's talking points. This is the Saul Alinsky playbook right in front of us. The communist, socialist Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. This is his playbook, which is to marginalize your opposition. Quote, to pick your target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And there it was right at the end of the speech. He's not trying to bring America together. He's doing everything he can to target MAGA Republicans, freeze them, personalize it, and polarize them from the rest of society. But here's the good news. Americans are waking up. Alternative media is on the rise. Americans have choices, and woke cable television is losing millions of viewers. Americans are going to the Trump rallies, and they're seeing the enthusiasm that other Americans have firsthand. As Dinesh D'Souza said in the opening segment at the beginning of this program, the facts don't lie. And here's another piece of good news. The MAGA movement is much bigger than Donald Trump. It really is the Tea Party on steroids. Trump just happens to be the head of the spear at this point in time. But it will take longer than a second Trump term to turn the aircraft carrier of the U.S. government back in the direction of following the Constitution and the vision of the founders. This movement is far bigger than Trump. And so we need to keep that in mind. Trump just happens to be at the forefront at this time. I predict that the Supreme Court will make future decisions that will keep Trump on the November 2024 ballot. And American citizens need to have the ability to choose at the voting booth who their next president will be. For those of you who are listening to this program and you're still on the fence about supporting Trump, supporting the Tea Party movement, supporting the MAGA movement, consider what's at stake. The next president will have the power to select more Supreme Court justices and federal judges. This will potentially affect American jurisprudence for decades. We saw how much damage Roe v. Wade did for 50 years. Over 63 million American lives terminated. And I have 63 million reasons to vote for Trump. As for me, I remain optimistic. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's a comforting thought. Until next time for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.